Real Career Talk. I am your guest host, Latoya Henry, and for Phil Perquette. This is our monthly interview brought to you by the Network National, and where we bring you internal and external experts to discuss career hot topics. Our talent development pillars for 2021 are adaptability, mentor sponsorship, advocacy, continuous learning, and building relationships. Our guest today to discuss building relationships is Masai, AVP African Affairs. Masai, welcome to Real Career Talk.
Thank you, Latoya. I'm really happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Can you give us just kind of like a 30-second overview intro of kind of like what you do for AT&T, AVP African Affairs? That sounds like an amazing job. So if you can just tell us what you do here.
Yeah, sure. That wasn't on the questions. No, I'm just kidding. So, I love my job. I was actually really fortunate to get it. And I focus on government affairs on Africa. As you know, we are a big company that's got a lot of businesses, right? So it's things around, creating content on the continent, distributing content on the continent. We've got CNN in Africa, as well as our traditional technology business, right? And, you know, what's really cool about Africa is there's a lot of transformation happening. There's a lot of young people. The emerging middle class in Africa, middle income people, will actually exceed those in North America in the next 5 years or so. And so there's a lot of opportunity there. So I think we're smart to do more in Africa. I'm originally from Ethiopia as well. So, you know, it's really fun for me to do it. So yeah, I've been really excited to do that and work on making sure that the regulatory and legislative frameworks that are being, you know, introduced in Africa and that are, you know, rapidly transforming in Africa, sometimes actually faster than in the US, are being done in a way that allows businesses to compete and allows us to be part of that equation. So, you know, I love that. COVID hasn't allowed me to travel. So that's the only thing that's been tough. But other than that, excited to do this.
That was one of my questions. So how often do you get to travel there? But I see, you know.
Answer, Latoya, zero so far. I actually started this and haven't been able to go. You know, I started last year and it's been, that's been the biggest disappointment in terms of the role. You know, the interesting thing, though, to just touch on it is because I can do things virtually, I can actually have more meetings in some instances than I could have by flying there because it's expensive. It's also a long time commitment, right? So in that aspect, it's been good. And it's also forced a lot of the entities I would interact with to go virtual. So I think it's good for the future, but nothing like meeting someone in person to get to know them. So that's been a little tough.
And so I know networking and building relationships in your current role is so vital and important. So last year, one of the talent development pillars was networking. This year, being agile, the organization kind of made a few updates, and one of the new pillars is building relationships. Masai, tell us, why is building relationships in business so important?
Yeah, you know, this is something I learned over time, to be honest, right? And I would start by saying, I guess, think about solving an important problem or facing a challenge together, right? Or imagine you came up with, you know, the next great idea for a startup company and you're looking at people you'd want to join you in launching the startup, right? Who are the people that you think of? You know, I've been fortunate in my career a few times to have some free reign, including in my current role, to be like a startup, to build something, right? And one of the interesting things that I find is that the people that I reach out to or think about or find easiest to work with are the people I've known from other chapters of my life. And I'm talking about people who don't even have much to do with my current role, right? I'm talking about my roommate from high school, right? Or someone I met in college who happens to be in South Africa now, right? You know, I just had a very good conversation with a guy, my roommate from high school, who is at a different company, who's working on cryptocurrency. And we were just both talking about how it's just so hard to find people that you can actually trust and rely on, right? And I think it was so cool because we hadn't talked in years, and then we reconnect and we really connected on this thing. And I would, you know, I would go work with this guy in a heartbeat, right? And I think that's why business kind of relationships are important, because you trust people. And I think that helps a lot, you know. So Paul, this guy, you know, he'd tell me the truth, right? He would challenge me, but I know he would also have my back. So I would say that. I think one thing, you know, to add to that is in any other relationship, you know, this is something to aspire for, I guess, is what I would say, right? And I think what you need to do, though, is while every relationship wouldn't develop to that level, right, you still model the behaviors that allowed you to establish those relationships, right? So things like putting aside your ego, you know, I knew him in high school, right? We were just high school kids. Being down to earth and approachable, right? Taking care of your business, because he is not, you know, he hasn't kind of been, you know, fallen off the radar and just, you know, he's done some good things, right? Being trustworthy, right? And making mistakes and apologizing, which is part of a relationship, right? So all these things, I think, go into building a relationship. So the thing I would put, another way I would put it, Latoya, is it makes it effortless, right? I think having a relationship makes it effortless and even pleasant to, you know, work on a challenge or a problem and to achieve goals together.
That's good. And I know you kind of touched on virtually you're able to have more meetings. When we think about having to pivot to the virtual settings and we think about internally at AT&T, how have you adapted to kind of sustaining those business relationships and also building new ones? Because I think sometimes it's a challenge because we're not in person face to face. So how do you take the virtual setting, our new norm, and make that work for you?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And the honest answer is sometimes I've struggled with it, right? And it's one of those where I think you learn every time, right? So the two simple things that I'm doing right now, just so you know, is the existing relationships I have, I continue to nurture, right? So I have just check-in calls, right? You know, I've heard of people doing, you know, let's get together and have wine. I haven't quite gone there with business relationships. I've done it with friends or, you know, for a birthday party or something, but just checking in, right? And it's pretty cool how I find them refreshing just to have a call with a colleague and we don't have an agenda, right? We're just really catching up. Like, how is it going with you? How are things with the lockdown? How is it going with the ice and tech? You know, just this week I was talking to a colleague for a work meeting, but we just talked about what it felt like for him, right? And so I think people need those conversations. So just opening the door to do that, I think works a lot more than it would have in traditional times where a video call was considered impersonal. The other thing I'm doing is I am quote unquote cold calling people that I wouldn't have, right? Normally, you know, I wouldn't initiate a first conversation over Zoom, right? Now I am. I mean, I've met people over Zoom. If I go to lunch with them, I think we'd have a great time, right? You know, it's not something that I thought would have been possible, right? And I'm talking about folks from like embassies or folks from, you know, overseas that I might not get to see, right? And so you'd be surprised that sometimes just taking the plunge and getting to know somebody over the Zoom might actually build a good relationship, right? And so it's worked better than I expected. I think those are the two things I'll talk about tonight.
Those are really good. You know, I never thought about cold calling. So I'll add that to my list. So that's good. You touched on when you build relationships, being able to trust people. But how do you get to that point, Masai? How do you recommend building an authentic business relationship?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm smiling because I have a very good answer, I think, but it's interesting. I mean, one of the best ways to do, to establish a strong relationship, authentic relationship, is to do something difficult together, right? I think the best relationships I've had in business are with folks who helped me navigate a difficult situation, either together we were in it, or in my case, I'll give you an example of something what I consider to be career affecting mistake, right? And someone who was in the trenches with you and who demonstrated, you know, that they're a straight shooter and they had your back, there is a strong foundation for an authentic business relationship. And honestly, it happens fast. So, mm-hmm. you know, I remember I told you I've had some good roles and I won't go into specifics, but I made a big mistake. It's probably one of the it was actually a mistake on my team, but I was mm-hmm. the guy who should have reviewed everything. And there it was. And the good thing is I went to my boss afterwards and I said, look, we did this mistake. And at this point, the ship has sailed. I didn't use those words, right? But the ship mm-hmm. sailed. And I'm trying to figure out how to resolve it. I didn't want to wait till I have it figured out because it was pretty big that I needed you to know, right? And, you know, I've had a couple of those situations with this person. And this was the most calm, but, you know, it's sending a message like, okay, well, you better find a way to fix this, right? Because otherwise, and it didn't go there, but it was pretty much obvious. So the good thing is once I assess a situation, you know, I remain calm and I tend to focus mm-hmm. on how to solve it. So that helped. And I knew as one of those, you know, at the end of the day, you've kind of calculated, okay, if this works out, this happens. If it doesn't work out, I'm moving on to find something else, right? And so at that point, you know what the outcome is. You make your peace with it. But it was sad because I had invested a lot in this role and it would be all erased, mm-hmm. right? So after a couple of hours of trying to find ways, finally, I had the idea of calling this one person. It was kind of a cold call, right? To just say, hey, you know this process very well. This is what happened. I can't go into details. And I say, you know, someone made a mistake. I didn't catch it. Ship sailed. Documents gone. I've told my boss. He's obviously livid about it. And this person interrupts me as I'm going through this and kind of partly falling on this word. He says, why did you tell your boss? And I was like, what? That's not what I expected to hear from you, right? And he says, next time, just call me. I was like, well, I just thought about it now, but you know, it's not like we talk all the time. He's like, do you think you're the first one to do this, right? And he was like, don't worry about this. You're making this a bigger deal than it needs to be. You know, why did you tell your boss? You know, it's, and he just goes on and on. And the best thing he did was he said, here's what I'll do. He said, I'm going to call your boss and I'm going to tell him myself not to worry about this, right? And I'll just tell you, I love that man. Right. Because, yeah, I figured out maybe the right place to go to try to find a solution. But, you know, when he said that, that was amazing. And later my boss calls me in and says, look, I don't know how you thought about this one, but good job. Right. And I did not expect a good job to come out of this, you know, earlier that morning. Right. And I think the lesson learned there is here's a person who was in the trenches with me, who was a straight mm-hmm. shooter. And when he took it upon himself, because he could have had pushback, right? Even though he had a relationship with my boss, to say, look, I will call him and I will say, this is not as big a deal as you think it is, right? Was massive. So I think that's what I mean by people who have been there with you. Those are strong relationships. I think the obvious other things is, you know, have people connect you, right? An authentic business relationship. Me saying, hey, LaToya is a great person to work with. I know that she is trustworthy or she brings this expertise that you're looking for, and introducing you goes a long way. And then there's some other obvious things we can touch on, but you know, I'll stop with those two.
I think that is so good, especially, you know, when we talk about careers and just sharing and being authentic and telling our stories, it's always good to say, hey, this is a lesson learned in this. And because of that, I've gained trust in this relationship. I think your story is so good in understanding that. When it comes to building relationships, is there a thing as like too much information or crossing a line when it comes to business relationships?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was going to ask you, do you have any examples, right? I think everybody probably has had those interesting interactions where you're like, you know, I would say there's definitely, I think your question was too much interaction, right? I think there's definitely, mm-hmm. there's definitely that. And let me tell you, in my previous roles, I was a chief of staff, I guess. I'll give you that example, right? And multiple times. And there are people who are very bold and who will go and ask for time from people, even though candidly they don't deserve the time and they don't use it well, right? And that is a drain. And it drives me crazy because I believe there are people who are more circumspect, who are more thoughtful about other people's time, and yet don't take those opportunities, okay? So if you're one of the folks who's just having interaction for interaction's sake, maybe get somebody else to weigh in and say, okay, what are you really accomplishing there, right? Because there are instances where I would hear of other senior executives, et cetera, who just felt like, man, that was a meeting that, why did I do it, right? And then there are other examples where they would say, hey, I wish this person would come to me more, right? And I'm not just talking about the bosses I worked for. You know, I had peers who were much more senior than me, and they would talk about these situations, right? You know, regarding too much information, TMI, right? Yeah, it depends by person, you know, is what I'll tell you. I think I tend to be more of a private person. And so I actually wanted to give you maybe a good example of TMI. I happened to be meeting with a very, very senior person. Okay. And I did very, very for a good reason. And one of my mentors arranged this meeting. So, you know, I did my preparation for a couple of days, had my notes, got a new suit, updated my resume, you know, good examples of work, future, you know, plans, etc. And it was a lunch meeting. So we get in the car. This person was so courteous, right? And they actually held the door open for me. And I was like, wow, okay, this is pretty cool, right? And this person had that kind of character, which I appreciated about this very, very serious person. And then right after we get in the car, the mentor who arranged the lunch was also with us. And he says, let me tell you a crazy story about this guy. And then goes on to tell about how my wife and I delivered our second child in the car. Okay. That expression, right? So I am sitting in the back like, ooh, how's this gonna go, right? And the truth is, this person starts asking me questions about it, right? And, you know, I mean, it was one of my most amazing experiences in my life, right? And, you know, for folks who are like, how did that happen? You know, if you're getting, the point is this, we were at the doctor 3 hours earlier before it happened. So I'll just put out, we weren't irresponsible. The doctor was surprised too, because 3 hours later, baby was born. So on the way to the hospital. So anyways, so this very senior person starts asking me questions. He says he couldn't have done it. It turned out to be the best introduction I could have had. And what I wanted to share here, Latoya, was that I'd shared something intimate and private with my mentor because we had a very good relationship, right? And he knew enough, going back to let other people connect you, right? He knew enough about the person he was connecting me with to know this story would probably work. Now, he was a bit of a risk taker, so I'm sure he was swinging a little, right? And it did, right? It totally broke the ice. We had a great lunch, you know, got to really get to know this person, right? But I would say if you plan to share something like that, maybe test it with a trusted advisor beforehand, right? Instead of just swinging for the fences, you know, the personal story, that could work great to break the ice or lead to awkward silences, right? So just got to be careful there. And then if you make a mistake and overshare, look, acknowledge it afterwards. Say it was awkward, that you learned something, and go on. We do it all the time in relationships. Mm-hmm. Missteps are part of the game. But, you know, it was a good example of TMI, I thought, and I can't share, you know, I'm just kidding, you know. So that was a good one that I wanted to share with you.
That's good. You saw my facial expression like, what?
Yeah, I did.
How is this going to go?
Yeah, imagine me in the back of the car like, oh, boy, he just did it.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about, so we think about our current situation and times that we're in. Do you believe the unsettling division in our country currently will have an effect on building relationships and business for minorities and people of color? And if so, how do we overcome this?
Yeah, you know, this one is very personal, I think, to many of us, right? And so, you know, I have to start with be realistic, right? And I'm just have to be pragmatic about it, Latoya, because you will face bias, right? I remember actually a story that Anne Chow just recently shared. And, you know, she was basically talking about how her team needed an opening with an executive, right, who was of similar background as Anne. So she said, I think these were her words, she was like an asset in doing that, right? But at the meeting, she said, it seemed like the executive wasn't interested in talking to her, but to the men who are actually her direct reports. And so she was like, he wouldn't address me, he wouldn't talk to me, right? And that's a tough situation that I think as minorities or others, we find ourselves in. And she said, you know what? I was happy I was able to open the door. My team got a win, right? And I guess my takeaway from that is sometimes you just have to work the system and get to your desired goal, right? But but that's why I'm also optimistic that I think things will continue to get better. It's not, you know, it's not denying that there's a retrenching that's happening in some areas and kind of a strong kind of movement backwards for multiple reasons, right? But I think there's also equally an opening and a desire to address inequities. And I think what I try to do is focus on embracing those, right? And I think if you do that, you know, I think you're better off. So if you think about, I guess I'll tell you a story from my background. You know, I attended a conservative boarding school in Kenya, and it was run by missionaries. And you probably make a face. So I was reading a book by Rush Limbaugh because that was the book to read. And it was The Way Things Ought to Be, I believe was the title. That was the hit. And a discussion, you know, if you were talked about Malcolm X or anything, that was like, whoa, that's crazy, right? And there were one or two staff members that were open to those things, but a lot of them were, you know, like, hey, that's the way to go, very conservative, et cetera. And I, all I'm saying is I kind of got raised up in that missionary school to some extent, and I had an understanding of what to do. So one day I'm in the gym with my book, Being the Smart Kid, reading, and Nathan, who was an alumni, and so these are the guys who had graduated, would come back to visit once in a while. And he walks in and he's walking by me. And then he runs back up the steps and he's like, Masai, what's that book you're reading? I was like, yeah, this is the book. This is a great book. And he's like, dude, I think you need to be reading other books too, right? Like, just because everybody here says this is a good book to read doesn't mean you should just follow that, right? And the reason I'm sharing this with you is that Nathan was someone I would have listened to, right? Whereas I'm sure a couple of my classmates may have told me the same thing, and I probably didn't listen to them, right? And so as you're navigating this kind of, you know, situation we're in, if you will, as a minority, right? Think about who are the people who will listen to you, and more importantly, who are the people others will listen to, right? So, you know, don't go banging your head trying to convince somebody, right? But for me, it was this former graduate who came and said, hey, here's a perspective, right? And then that made me pause. So if you're trying to, again, connect with somebody, or if you feel like you're facing these situations, maybe if you go to someone else that those people listen to, maybe that's your avenue to unlocking it versus you trying to do it yourself. You know, in my boarding school, there was a couple of teachers that I thought were weird. And in retrospect, I think they're the ones I should have spent more time on. Right. And I think some of us find ourselves in teams probably similar to the situation I was in my boarding school, where I think we're grown now. So we probably can figure out what makes sense and what doesn't. And I was still doing that back then. But I remember, you know, my English teacher, who I thought was not someone I really connected with and a subject that I didn't like very much. Right. Said, you know, in my yearbook, she says, you can do anything you put your mind to. Right. And now I look back and at her and at, you know, Mr. Penny or a couple of other teachers. And I was like, okay, they were trying to help me, or they had a perspective. And that's why certain kids gravitated to them. I didn't. So my point there is sometimes the people in your circle who may not be the right people, they might be the ones you need to connect with, right? And so I think all to say that, you know, find the people will listen to. Who are you listening to? And then if you find yourselves in those similar situations, maybe the folks that you think aren't the ones that are the right people, are the ones that can help you navigate it is what I wanted to put out there for them.
That's so good. And it kind of brings us full circle as we wrap things up. I'm very intentional about building relationships. And as we moved into this virtual setting, I've been putting meetings on calendars with people I would normally not talk to.
Mm-hmm.
People who are of different cultural backgrounds and differences. Mm-hmm. And I think so you telling that story is just another confirmation that we have to do that. We have to get uncomfortable with being comfortable. And I think that is so important to make sure that we are just diversifying the things that we read, the people in our circle. So that's just good ground information. So to wrap this up, what advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, that's interesting. So, you know, I had actually something else that I wanted to share, and this might be a good way to close it out, right? Is that I think I didn't understand the importance of relationships, Latoya, mm-hmm. Until probably later in my career, right? And, you know, partly it's just being a first, you know, kind of immigrant. You kind of learn the ropes on how the system works, et cetera, right? And I think, you know, an example I wanted to share of understanding the importance of relationships, because this is universal. And another thing I'd like my younger self or my junior self to know, right, is because we generally tend to seek relationships with people maybe who are more senior, who have more positions of power. And Nelson Mandela had a very good example of how to be someone who's valuable, even though he was, quote unquote, in a situation where he had nothing to give, right? So, you know, Crystal Brand was one of his jailers in Robben Island, right? And what happened is this guy said afterwards, he said he was always friendly, polite, and helpful. And this is a guy who had Mandela, you know, in prison for 12 years, right? And he said he became like a father to me. If I needed some help or assistance with something, he was always there for me. And it's incredible to hear, because when Mandela first went to this prison, there are stories about how the prison guards dug a grave, a shallow grave, and did things to him that I can't mention on this call, right? And to have a man who was pulled into that culture and was his prison guard for 12 years, to say he was like a father to me, because of what this man did for him when he had nothing, when he was a prisoner, I think gives you an example of how anybody can bring something to a relationship. And I think to a younger self is, you know, you always thought, can I really help somebody? Can I really bring something to the table? So I'll just say, go read about how Mandela built relationships. You know, there's an often misquoted quote, you know, talk to a man in a language he understands, and you talk to his brain. Talk to a man in his language and you speak to his heart. Unfortunately, Mandela didn't quite say that, but it's attributed to him. But he did say something similar, which is he learned Afrikaans, which was the language of, you know, the oppressive regime. And the reason he did that is because it helped him understand and also relate to their culture. And so I think the advice I would give to my young self really is, don't think that relationships aren't important. They're very important. In fact, I would say they're more important than a lot of other things. Spend the time to get to know people and learn about the strategies that will help you get there, right? I think Mandela had great examples. Don't feel like just because you're a junior person that you don't have something to bring to the table.
That's good. That's so good. Wrote that down. I'm going to have to go and do some research. So thank you for that. Thank you so much, Masai, for your time. We truly appreciate just your thought-provoking conversation and just guidance and insight on building relationships. I think this conversation is so important, especially in this time. So thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you join us for our next section, and take care.
Thank you, Latoya. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.